for a few moments. You'll be glad you came today, I can almost promise you. In regard to the popularity of our sermon, I imagine it falls in somewhere in between sermons on speeding and gluttony. Truth be told, sermons that are hard to hear, very often the ones that we need to hear the most. Sermons with which we agree or which address things that we're all doing right, well, those are fun to hear. But it's the ones that challenge us, that shine light on where we're struggling, where we may be falling a little bit short, where we struggle, and ask to do better. Those are the sermons that we really need. Our sermon this morning, our study this morning, will be on a topic that neither Jesus, our Lord, or His apostles spoke a single word about. But don't let that scare you, because they didn't have smartphones during the first century. And if they did, I imagine that our Lord and His apostles would have had some things to say about them. I want to talk to you quite candidly this morning about the danger of digital addiction. And I want our young folks to listen up especially close, those who have smartphones especially close. Those who are 30 years and younger are probably most susceptible to falling prey to digital addiction. But the story that our Facebook tells us that there are those in surplus of 30, in excess of 30, who may be struggling with that as well. So let me encourage you to get your Bibles, or if you're feeling very brazen and a bit rebellious, then open them up on your phone or your tablet as we follow along and study from the Word of God this morning. We want to begin in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul speaks of the days in which he lived, but he speaks in the days in which we live too. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in the first verse. Realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It's this last characteristic that Paul speaks of in verse 4 that I want us to think about for a few moments. We live in the age of pleasure. Many, many years from now, when the history books are telling our story, describing 2018, they're going to describe it as the age of pleasure. And in comparison to days gone by, work is easy. Money is plentiful and time is abundant. And that perfect storm put together allows us to pursue whatever it is our heart desires. And as much as I would like to exempt the church from being lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, we aren't always as far removed from the world as we should be. Understand, I'm not talking about, and Paul's not talking about sinful pleasure. Those things are automatically wrong. We know that they're wrong. We're not talking about pleasures like alcohol and drugs and sexual immorality, pleasures which the Bible explicitly condemns. We're talking about pleasures that aren't wrong in and of themselves, things that are good and acceptable before God. And thankfully, I believe I've made this point frequently enough that I can just make this statement and we can move on without me offering just a whole lot of scriptural support in regard to this. There is nothing wrong with enjoying the blessings of life. And so if you walk away after this sermon saying the preacher said we can't enjoy the pleasures of life, then you didn't listen to the sermon. The good blessings of life are a gift from God, but they must be kept in perspective. And that's where we find ourselves in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul's charge is not that men are lovers of pleasure. His charge is that men are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life, but listen to what I'm about to say. The purpose of life is not to enjoy it. The purpose of life is not to seek out pleasure. The purpose of life is not to have a good time. The purpose of life is to fear God and keep His commandments. Now, when you live the Christian life, understand that happiness very well may be a fringe benefit of what you're able to enjoy, a benefit of your faith to a certain degree, but it is never to be the compass that governs and guides how you live. That's to be God, and God alone. Yet oftentimes we give the reins of our life in pursuit of pleasure. And as Paul describes, we become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Let me show you our smartphone addiction. And I pray that you would bear with me for a little while. We're going to be talking statistics. We're going to be talking science a little more than usual. We're laying a foundation that reveals the potential danger that technology places before us. Technology is not bad if it's used properly. It's just a tool. In fact, it can be quite a blessing. But when it's taken from its proper perspective and used or misused rather in certain ways, it can make it harder to serve God. It can make it harder to be a Christian. It does so by means of addiction and by rewiring our brains in the way that we think. So buckle up, because here we go. 94% of people in the United States have a cell phone. It's no surprise there. But we also have to understand that a smartphone is more than just a telephone, isn't it? Yes, it can make calls and do those sort of things, but it has capabilities so much beyond just simply communicating with someone else via phone. There's texting. There's internet browsing. There's games. There's Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat. What we're talking about carrying with us all the time is this little computer. 94% of the people in this country have. That means 94% of the people in this country are setting themselves in a position to deal with the potential problems that may arise by carrying these little devices with us. 50% of teens admit that they are addicted to their phones. Mom and Dad, listen up. Your kids aren't going to ask you for help, but this statistic is a cry for help. 50% of teenagers, one out of every two, admit that they are addicted to their phone. Christians, Christian families, good kids are not exempt from this statistic. Let me get a little bit sciencey with you for a second. Here's how addiction works. Our brains have this reward system. When something good happens to us, our brain releases a chemical called dopamine into the body. It can be triggered when you eat something that you love. It can be triggered when someone tells you that they love you. It can be triggered when anything good happens. And because of the way that God made us, we seek out events that cause this release of dopamine into our brain throughout our body. When your phone lights up and when it buzzes that someone has texted you or somebody likes your post or your picture or somebody wants to play a game with you, that digital stimuli releases dopamine into the brain. And that's how addictions are created. Whether it's drugs or alcohol or pornography or smartphones, this is physically what happens that creates the addiction. I was listening in preparation for this lesson to a sermon Mark Roberts did on a similar topic, and he brought out a survey I didn't come across, but an experiment that he had done research on. He said a test was conducted with some lab rats, and although this was proven to be daily among people, they got these rats addicted to cocaine, and they placed them into this box, and there were two levers in the box. One lever released food, the other released cocaine. And they put a rat in there on the brink of starvation that was about to die from hunger. As soon as they put him in there, he goes and he hits that lever for the cocaine. His body was saying, I need this more than food. That's the power of addiction. That's the power of addiction. We know people who ruin their life with drugs and alcohol and all sorts of terrible things, other addictive substances. And I know what you're thinking. Well, smartphones aren't going to have those terrible consequences that drugs and alcohol and other things do. And that's true, but stay tuned because we're going to see the impact that they're having on our minds, the way that we think, and it's not a pretty picture. And while they aren't as physically dangerous as drugs, the habit of using your cell phone triggers the same reward feedback that many of these other addictive substances, drugs and things do. It can create this dependency. Therefore, it's not surprising that 66% of people feel uneasy when they leave their phones at home. They have a term for that now. It's called nomophobia. That is the fear of being without your cell phone, fear of not having service, fear of your battery dying. And studies show that a vast majority of people, when they're separated from their smartphone, they feel this sense of anxiety. And they feel this sense of depression and irritability. Now, what do those symptoms sound like to you? Sound like withdrawal. Someone who is addicted to something and has had that removed, and they're dealing with withdrawals from that. Smartphone users unlock their phones between 80 and 110 times a day. iPhone users on average unlock their phone 80 times a day, while other users up to 110 times a day. Now, let that sink in for a moment. That's unlocking your phone every 10 minutes in which you're awake. Think about that for just a minute. Nobody just unlocks their phone and then lets it sit there and go back off. There are other things that stem from that. Time spent on daily devices, 2 hours and 51 minutes per day on the phone. And if you folks add in tablet time, you get up to 4.5 hours. 1 hour and 16 minutes alone is spent on social media on average by smartphone users. 85% of smartphone users will check their devices while present with family and friends. 25% of car accidents are caused by phone usage. It's only a slight percentage down from alcohol-related accidents. 75% of people say that they have texted while driving. 6% of parents admit to have using their phone while driving. Now, I realize these statistics don't apply to all of us. Some of us are probably exempt. Some of us may fall short. But we've got near 100 people here today. And according to the statistics, based off the numbers, some of us are at this level of usage. There's a good chance some of us are addicted to our smartphone. That's just the reality of the numbers. Well, let me show you the negative impact that our phones are having on us. Even if it doesn't apply to us, this is a problem in the world. This is a problem in the church, and we need to be aware of it. Maybe you don't have a problem this morning, but maybe you know somebody that does. Maybe you're thinking, man, I wish such and such could hear this lesson. I'll make you a copy and you give it to them if you think that it will help them. Let me show you the impact that our phones are having on us. I'm not going to tell you that using a cell phone is going to cause brain cancer. That's a scare tactic, and studies have gone to show that that doesn't seem to be the case. But do hear what I am saying. Multiple tests have been done, and this is simply a report of what has been gathered based off of this various surveys, information, and tests that are done. One, cognitive functions are offloaded to devices and to the internet. Look up the Google effect. Google, here's the irony. Google, the Google effect. What's the first thing you do when you can't think of something, you can't remember something? You Google it. You go and you type it into Google. You don't have to search your memory. You don't have to rack your brain. You could just Google it and it's right there at your fingertips. And what studies have shown is this Google effect has caused us a lasting impact on the user's ability to remember and to think about things. And let me give you an example. Now, the younger ones here will have no idea of this, but the older ones here can appreciate this a little bit and can relate to this. Now that we have cell phones, you can enter someone's name and number in, and you have that there at your fingertips. But back before cell phones and smartphones came along, you had to manually push the buttons of the number of the person you wanted to call every single time. But because of that, because we had that repetition of pushing those buttons, it was no big deal for someone to have 20 or 25 or even more 9-digit phone numbers of people floating around in their head. And what the Google effect has done is it has exacerbated what has been exacerbated by cell phones. They tell our brains, you don't need to remember that. You can just look it up. And not surprisingly, our ability to remember is decreasing. When you go somewhere and you take a picture, your brain says, you don't have to remember this event. You can always just look back at it. You've got that picture there. And so you miss out on memories because we're too busy taking pictures and our brain offloads that onto our phone. So we have no recollection of the event or only just a small degree. Critical thinking skills, memory, arithmetic, these are abilities that are biologically based. And if you don't exercise those muscles, you offload them all onto your phone, well, what's going to happen? Well, they're going to atrophy and they're not going to be there when you need them. Now stay with me because this information, although it is a bit scientific, it's going to translate into some very spiritual, serious consequences, and we're going to look at those in a little bit. A couple more observations before we get there, though. Smartphones and entertainment are causing our attention spans to shrink. I'm wanting to say that every 7 seconds, a new frame, the frame changes or the angle changes on a movie. Now, the change is subtle, but what that does is it constantly brings our brain back in and causes it to focus. Getting barraged by notifications and texts that are constantly popping up with all of the action and the constant movement that entertainments and phones now sabotage and barrage our brains with. Is it any surprise that it's a struggle to sit and listen for 30 minutes to a lecture or to a sermon without getting bored or losing focus? And while it seems good that we have this fountain of knowledge at our fingertips, our brains are being overloaded and it's exhausting us. It's mentally exhausting us. We are becoming mentally fatigued. And here's another statistic. The millennial, that is, I believe those who are 30 or younger, they can concentrate on one thing for less than 5 minutes before they are tempted to change to something else. It's biological. It's biological. What our brain is doing is it's responding to what it's being trained to do and what it's being taught to do. That means it's hard to struggle and listen intently to the Word of God for any length of time. Don't answer this, but how many of you are antsy right now? Because at some point in time from when this lesson began to right now, your phone buzzed. And you're only listening half-heartedly because you're wondering, who was it that texted me? What am I missing out on? Don't answer this, but who might have checked in between the time that started to satisfy that curiosity. I don't know how it sounds to you, but if your phone has that kind of control over you, well, it sounds to me a lot like idolatry. There's been a study done at a university in the United Kingdom that showed that there's a connection between cell phones and narcissism. You've got baby boomers, you've got Gen X and Gen Y, you've got millennials, but this generation that's coming up, you know what they're called? It's Generation Me. Generation Me. I will take 100 pictures of myself to find the perfect one to update to my Facebook page. And I'll sit there and my heart will skip a beat every time a new person likes my new picture. It's about me. Look at me. You're beginning to see how cell phones and technology and entertainment are changing the way that we think and how they're creating an environment that's very conducive to create within us some very non-Christian attitudes and practices. I hope you are, because we've taken this time to look at these things and talk about these non-spiritual issues for a reason. Last one real quick. So, smartphones are having a negative impact on us socially. There's a book written called Alone Together that addresses in quite a bit of detail, and it shows how technology makes us feel more isolated from other people, even though the purpose of these devices is to make us feel more connected. 89% of Americans admit to taking out their phone during their last social interaction. 90% of your last social reaction, just according to the statistics, interrupted by a phone. 82% of those people that did that admitted that the conversation deteriorated when they did that. Two things happen when you take your phone out in a social setting. One, it decreases the quality of things that you talk about. You talk about things where you wouldn't mind being interrupted. Secondly, decreases the empathic connection that people feel toward one another. How many people have ever gotten frustrated because you're talking to somebody or you're having a conversation, out comes the phone? Well, I feel inadequate. I feel slighted. It's both frustrating and disrespectful to be talking to someone, to open up your phone, and to start having a conversation with someone who's not there when there's someone who is there that you're now neglecting and ignoring. But here's the better question. How many of us have been the person to have interrupted a conversation or killed a conversation because we pulled out our phone, started talking to people that weren't there while ignoring the person that was in front of us? I have. I'm resolving to do better. So the foundation is laid. We live among a people who are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We are addicted, a society addicted to our cell phones. And the numbers don't lie. I know it isn't all of us, but it's some of us. And that's the reality. Our brains are being changed. Cognitive function is down. Memory is down. Attention span is down. And socially, we are seeing the effects. Look at me. Like me. Admire me. I'm too busy talking to people I can't see that I miss the ones that are there in front of me. So let's transition now to the spiritual aspect of our lesson. What is this costing us spiritually? Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We laid this foundation for a reason. Took a good part of your time and a good part of this lesson to talk about some things that were non-biblical, because it translates into some very serious problems spiritually. 1 Corinthians 6, as I said, the Bible doesn't have a word for addiction. However, the idea is presented to us multiple occasions. And here Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. All things are lawful for me, the people say. But Paul says not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, the people say, but Paul says, I will not be mastered by anything. There's your word for addiction. To be mastered by something is to be addicted to it. You are enslaved. You're under its power. You're under its compulsion. It controls you. And Paul says right here, the point is, Christians are not to be mastered by anything. And that includes smartphones. Here's where the rubber meets the road. When misused, digital addiction hinders your ability to connect to God. What does God desire from you? Obedience? Yes. Worship? Yes. Love? Yes. These are good answers. But Jesus summarizes it well in John 17, where he makes this statement to his disciples as he prays, or rather to the Father as he prays. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What God wants is he wants you to know him. The God, the creator of this universe, wants for you, his greatest desire for you is to know him. If you know him, you will love him. If you know him, you will worship him. If you know him, you will obey him. How do we get to know God? How do we get to know anyone? You talk to them, you listen to them, you spend time together, and you form a relationship that's based off of communication. Getting to know God translates into three things for us: prayer, study, reading, and meditation. Meditation. Some of us may need medication to get unhooked from these cell phones, but meditation to draw closer to the Lord. So I'm going to ask you a personal question. Answer to yourself. Don't answer for me. You don't want to know my answer. I don't want to know your answer. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody publicly, but I want you to think about this, because what I'm wanting is for you and for me as well to know God better. Here's the question. How long can you pray for? How long can you sit down and talk to God? Can you talk to God for 5 minutes? Can you talk to God for 15 minutes? 30 minutes? An hour? How long can you pray before you get distracted and bored and find something else to do? Here's the pertinence of the question in regard to digital addiction. The studies show that the entertainment through various digital devices, it shortens our attention span. Disagree if you like, but you're disagreeing with facts and with tests that have been proven. Does your phone distract you from praying, from talking to God? It does me. And I'll make a confession that I hope you'll understand how it hinders me, so you can learn from my mistakes. I like to pray in the morning, but when I get to the office before I begin my day, I like to spend a little time in prayer to open up and begin my day. I can't tell you how many times I have been praying in the mornings before getting started at work, and there it is. Bzz, bzz. You know what? Prayer's over. I don't care how deeply I was talking to God. I don't care where I was in the conversation, whether I just started. When that phone buzzes, when I'm praying, conversation's over. What if something serious happened? What if Whitney needs me at home? What if something happened to somebody at church? I've just got to get over there and I've got to find out what that is. My ability to focus is done because that thing has interrupted me. Within 30 seconds, I'm going to say amen. I'm going to cut it off. I don't care where I was. And I'm going to go check and I'm going to see what that message says. You want to guess how many times when I've been interrupted by my phone when I was praying, that it was something important where it was worth answering? Never. Not one single time when I've been interrupted by my phone when I was praying has it been genuinely, truly important. And no offense to that, my wife included, but I can't think of anything that you could tell me or that someone else could tell me that is worth interrupting my time and talking to God. For me to say, God, I'm going to put you on hold and get this real quick. And I'm not bragging about this. This is not a look at me and follow my example. This is look at me and don't do what I have done. You need to learn from my mistakes and you need to do better. You need to know your preacher's a man. And he struggles with things the same way you struggle with things. And he is far from perfect. And he is weak at times. And he doesn't always do the job that he should. But he's trying. He's trying. How do you feel when you're talking to someone and out of nowhere? They take out their phone and they start fooling with it, doing whatever. They give you the perfunctory nod. Uh-huh, yep, I'm with you. Every few seconds they think they're still following along with the conversation, but you know they've checked out. How about this imagery? You're in the throne of God, and you're talking to Him. You have the ear of your Maker. You have the ear of the Creator of the world, the one who has purchased you with the blood of His Son. And as you're talking to Him, the phone rings. You say, just a second, God. I got to take this. How about reading and studying the Word of God? You talk to Him in prayer. God talks to us through His Word. Now, here's one of the real benefits. And like I said, technology isn't bad. Here's one of the benefits of technology. You can open up that tablet or that phone and you can read God's Word on it in any translation you want, in any language that you want. That's a benefit to be able to have that flexibility. But let me ask you, how well can you read that Bible and how well can you concentrate when every few seconds you're being buzzed or notified that something's going on? For God so loved the world, bzz, there's that text message, that He gave His only begotten Son, bzz, somebody liked your Facebook picture, whosoever believeth in Him, bzz, it's your turn on Words with Friends. How well can you focus on what you're reading and what you're thinking about? And you know what you're doing is more important, but that distracts you. That interrupts you. That puts an end to what you're trying to accomplish. Does our phone help us get to know God better? Or does it hinder us from getting to know God the way we should? They may help sometimes, but I'm worried more often than not. It's a hindrance. And it's an obstacle. Our ability to connect to God is hindered very often by our smartphone, by technology. Our ability to focus on others is hindered. The Bible condemns pride. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to read through this book and realize God doesn't have anything for people who are arrogant and think of themselves and only themselves. Proverbs 6:16. 16 things the Lord hates. You know what number one on the list is? A proud look. Folks, there's nothing more proud and arrogant than a picture that says, "Look at me." I understand we want to take pictures to commemorate events. I'm not against pictures. And I'm not saying that under every circumstance it's wrong to take a selfie. What I am saying is this: God hates a proud look. And if you take that picture of yourself because you simply want to show to the world how beautiful you are, how handsome you are, then you need to remember God hates a proud look. The selfie generation says, "Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to you." But Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to God." Folks, it ain't about me. And it ain't about you. It's about God. But these little devices make us think, what's a lot more about me than it really and truly is? Not only that, but you care for others. Your care for others begins to degrade. Look with me in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus left us an example of what we are to be like. And it's just as simple as this. Philippians chapter 2. Listen to verse 3. And we've seen the connection between cell phones and look at me and narcissism and pride and arrogance in ourselves. We get so wrapped up in ourselves with that. But that's just the antithesis of everything that we are to be and what we're called to be in Christ. Philippians 2 verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. My attitude toward you is to be what Jesus' attitude was toward me. Jesus said, "I don't want to die. That's not good for me. But I'm willing to die because it's needed for you." And he tells us in verse 5, that mind that Jesus showed him himself, let that mind be in you as well. I can't see you. You can't see me if we're too busy looking at our phone to look up and look for one another. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." The law of Christ is the law of love. There may be times when I stumble, when I fall down. And if you're looking at that phone, or you're taking that selfie, you may miss me. And I've stumbled, and I need your help. Or if I'm too busy and too preoccupied with myself and my interest and my entertainment, I may miss you if you need help along the way. Digital addiction hinders your ability to see my needs and my ability to see yours. And then, our ability to think deeply is hindered. Go on to 2 Peter chapter 3. Digital addiction hinders our ability to think deeply. Remember the Google effect? You don't need to remember that. All you've got to do is just look it up. We need to be able to think deeply about God's Word. That's true. I don't care. Whatever mental capacity the Lord has blessed you with in that regard, if you're a 1, 2, or 5 talent man, you need to be able to think deeply about the Word of God. Now, I understand that may be varying degrees with different gifts that God has blessed us with, but you need to be able to think deeply about the Word of God. Look at what Peter said, 2 Peter 3, verse 16. Speaking to the letters of Paul, he said, "In his letters, some of the things in which he has said are hard to understand." Listen to those things that are hard to understand, what happens. "Which the untaught and the unstable distort as they do with the rest of the Scriptures to their own destruction." There are things in Scripture that are very easy to understand, but there's also things here that are pretty deep. It can be a challenge to comprehend. Peter says, "Untaught and unstable people twist those to their own destructions." And here's how the cell phone's addiction hurts us in the regard to think deeply. "Hey, Google, what do I have to do to be saved?" And Google will tell you the most popular answer. All you got to do is believe in Jesus. "Hey, Google, do I need to be baptized to be saved?" Google says, "Salvation is by faith alone. I don't have to open a Bible. I don't have to try to remember any passages. I don't have to study and actually utilize a mental muscle Just use these fingers, type in the question, go and read the answer. Now, it may surprise you to know that Google isn't already always right. Your internet search may say, all you've got to do to be saved is believe. But Jesus would say, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And you can't know that without opening up the book. Your internet search may say, salvation is by faith alone. But Jesus would say, faith without works is dead. This is just one of the many ways in which our digital addiction can hinder us and cause us to miss God's answer to some of the harder things that there are to understand. How about rather than asking Google, we go to God's Word and we ask God, what do you have to say about it? Houston, we have a problem. We are addicted. Digital addiction hinders our relationship with God, with others, and to think deeply about things that God asks us to think deeply about. And we've only got one choice. We have got to break free of that addiction. What can we do? Here's the answer. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. What does it profit a whole man if he gains the world and loses his soul? It is no understatement to say that this little device will cost many people, many Christians perhaps, their soul. We got to break free. Our soul may very well depend on it. So let's start with the bad news first. Jesus will say in Matthew 5:30, if your eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it away. Because it's better to enter into life without an eye than it is to be have your eye and then be cast into hell. If your smartphone causes you to stumble, that little device that you have in your pocket is causing you to stumble, it's better to go through life without it than to be able to carry that thing to hell with you. I don't know your circumstances. I don't know your demeanor toward it. If you can't control it, get rid of it. Get rid of it. As simple as that, it's not worth losing your soul over. Do understand, though, there are many things much less severe that we can do to overcome and to break free from this addiction. Turn it off. When you're home with the people you love, turn it off. When you sit down at the table of the restaurant with others, turn it off. When you walk into this building and you sit down and prepare to worship God, turn it off. When the kids go to bed and you and your spouse are sitting across from one another on the couch and you're both there looking at your cell phones, turn it off. When you open your Bible to read, turn it off. When you close your eyes to pray, turn it off. When you reflect on your day and you meditate on the Lord, turn it off. And if you're incapable of turning it off, I'll refer you back to point one, throw it away. Be present. Be present. With the people who are around you, the people who you're with, be present. Engage in conversation with them. Talk to them, not to the people who are away from you. I'm not saying it's always bad to communicate with somebody else. I understand there are emergencies. I understand that there are needs. But be present with the people you are with. Downgrade. I don't know how we survived without them. I don't know how I reached adulthood without a cell phone, but somehow I did. My first one didn't come along until I was about 20 or 21 years old. And these things can do much more sometimes than we need. And if it creates within you some unhealthy addiction, then downgrade it. Get one where all you can do is talk. And it'll have the purposes for which you'll need it. Fast. Put it away for a period of time. I understand we may need it for work, but when you're able to put it away for a period of time, go a week without it. Then break that fast and find yourself more in control of your addiction. One more thing. There's a phrase that's used in the book of Psalms that I think would help deal with some of the busyness that this brings into our life and would help those who are trying to break free from this addiction. Be still and know that I am God. It's going to be a full-length sermon next year as we think about this idea in our busy lives and busy schedules. But as it pertains to this lesson, turn off the phone, unplug the Nintendo, turn the TV off, be still and know that I am God. I did something last week that I haven't done in I don't know how long. I drove to Texarkana. No music, no audiobook, no sermon, no podcast, no phone conversation, no sound. I just drove. You know what? I realized how pretty of a drive that is. I was able to talk to God multiple times throughout the course of that trip because there wasn't anything distracting me. I was able to sing and worship. Able to reflect and think about things that are important, good things. We need quiet time for reflection, for meditation, for appreciation. Sometimes we just need to sit still Just think of God. And parents, you and I are especially responsible. We know this. Set a good example. Do not enable. You recognize if your child has a problem. Do not enable. You set the limitations. You can see what's going on. Manage screen time. iPhone users have this handy new feature that came out with the latest update called Screen Time Report. I went ahead and saw mine the first time, and let me just say it was a little bit humbling. It caused me to be a little bit ashamed. Keep an eye on your screen time. See how much time you are truly giving to those things. Alcohol isn't bad, but it's killing us in and of itself. Food isn't bad in and of itself, but it's killing us. Smartphones, technology isn't bad in and of itself, but it is killing us. Just take a good hard look at yourself. Does the sermon apply to you? It does to me. You deserve better. Your family and the people that love you deserve better. Your friends deserve better. God deserves better. What would our world be like if we treated our Bibles like we do our cell phones? Imagine a world everyone was desperate to have one. Imagine if people waited in long lines just to get the newest updated version. Imagine if so many people wanted one, there was often a massive back order. Imagine if people were willing to buy spend hundreds of dollars just to have one. Imagine if people bought insurance for it just in case the unthinkable happened. Imagine if we enthusiastically wanted to show it off to others and tell them about it. Imagine if we never left home without it. Imagine if we were willing to carry it to turn back home when we forgot it. Imagine if we always carried it with us in our pockets and purses. Imagine if we frantically searched for it when it was lost. Imagine if we used it when we traveled. Imagine if we used it while waiting in line at the grocery stores, the DMV, and the bank. Imagine if we used it at the game, at work, at the gym, and at home. Imagine if we always wanted it around us in case of an emergency. Imagine if we felt very uncomfortable without it. Imagine if our children constantly begged to use it. Imagine if it was almost always able to keep our kids occupied so mama could cook and dad could fix things around the house. Imagine if it was the number one item on the teen's Christmas list. Imagine if we were always spending time with it. Imagine if we constantly used it to search for answers and information. The wonderful thing about being a Christian, you get a new chance every day. Like me, you've fallen short. Get a new chance when you open your eyes. A chance to do better. A chance to make things right. A chance to change your life. If we can help you in that, if we can baptize you into Jesus, you can come confessing your faith. You can put Him on. And you can become a Christian. You can wake up every morning in a new creation in Jesus. All of those things in the past are wrong and done away with. If you got a problem, I hope that you'll consider yourselves. Our gut instinct is to say, nope, not me. Check yourself. Ask somebody you love. Do I seem to give too much attention to this thing? Am I missing out on the truest and greatest blessings of life because of this? Don't let that stand in your way. Drawing closer to God, drawing closer to others, and being able to spend time thinking about Him. If anyone needs to respond to the invitation, we invite you to do so as we stand and as we sing.